I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people. We're going to stir it up and do things our way. So if you
want to move, get out of our way. You guys, the OG... The OC is back, and it is, you know what? She's had a hard time sometimes, our OC, our Real Housewives of OC. Like, and I left her for a while. I come back to her, but she is on the money. She is back. She is like, oh my gosh. And now we have Nate watching Real Housewives of Orange County. We have brought him in. We're kicking and screaming. We're bringing him into Orange County, and I'm so excited to talk about the return of the Real Housewives of Orange County season 18.
So this was my first ever Orange County episode, and it was 54 minutes long, the episode, and I know that because I watched it on Peacock. 54 minutes. It took me about 47 minutes to get everybody's names and faces right. Like, I was confused for a very long time. The faces in that all the blonde women, Tamara, Gina, Jennifer, Alexis. I know Alexis isn't a main character, but she was in this for quite a bit. I already said Tamara. I was having trouble differentiating them, especially in their confessionals when they wouldn't have a name, Chiron, on there. I had some trouble. Oh, Shannon's the one I forgot. Yeah. I will say this, though. Shannon, I could tell apart from the other four women, just because, I mean, mostly every time she was on camera, she was talking about her DUI. But she also, and anybody who watches it will look at me and be like, you think those other women look alike? Yeah, they kind of look alike a little bit. Tamara, I eventually figured out Tamara because she's smaller and she looks like Kristen Chenoweth. So I'm like, okay. Got that one. I had a lot of trouble differentiating Gina and Alexis, which again, okay. you might not think they look anything alike, but when they're talking in a confessional in those looks, I'm like, and then the name, when people just bring up the names talking about somebody else, like somebody bring up Gina and I'd be scrolling through my notes. Which one's Gina? Who's Emily? And it's hard the first time. I mean, if we were doing a season one where they introduce people, it's different. And this is another thing I noticed. Honestly, if you look at my notes, I just wrote down next to every character, blonde, not blonde. and it still didn't help me that much. But I blame another thing is that, so I, this year, because of you guys, started watching Beverly Hills and VPR. And the thing is going into both of those shows, even though I jumped in current season, was that I already knew who they were because I feel like they were so much, the cast of those two shows are so much more in the zeitgeist that, and you know, yeah, Kim, Kyle, Kathy, of course I knew them, but even like Erica Jane, like I'd heard of all of them. Yeah. This show, Heather Dubrow, knew what she looked like, know who she is. Shannon Bedore, I'd heard the name because I'd read so many when that whole the DUI happened, but I didn't necessarily know what she looked like. I know who Vicky is. Vicky's not on the show anymore. You know, so these are just names I've heard you guys mention, but I they're not in the news otherwise. Like if you're, you know, you just ask a random person on the street, they might be able to name, you know, half of the Beverly Hills. Insane, like Scandal, same thing. People know who's. So this one was hard. This one was hard. And my apologies to these poor women. You don't all look alike. The thing that saved me at the end, I do not know why I have face blindness where I couldn't tell Gina and Alexis apart. The thing that saved me was at the party at the end that Alexis was just wearing a bright pink. I'm like, okay, I got it. That's her. I got it. Yeah, it was a mess.
Well, and when Gina first came on, she had a very thick, like, New Jersey accent. It is toned down a bit, but you'll hear it at times. You'll be like, oh yeah, she doesn't sound like she's from California.
Okay.
Whereas Alexis does. But oh my gosh. Well, I have, before we like get into the episode too much, I mean, we're just, you know, I do have a little bit of tea though. I have some, because there's been some rumors going around. So the first rumor is, because I don't know how much you know, since you are a newbie to Orange County, so Alexis Bellino used to be a full-time cast member on the show a few years ago. And she was on for a few years. And then she left and she was married to this guy, Jim Bellino. Jim Bellino is the one who sued Shannon and Tamara for defamation. Yeah. Okay. But Alexis was already split from him. Not sure if the divorce was final or they were just separated, but they were not together. So when that happened. But Alexis has been off the show for quite a few years. And she might have shown up occasionally as a, you know, just here or there, but whatever. But not really at all. She did show up on an episode of Below Deck a couple of seasons ago with her fiancé. Her old fiance that she just broke up with last year. Literally months before she got together with John Jansen. Johnny J, the rebrand, exactly. Mm-hmm. So Alexa's been trying to get back on to Bravo. Let's just say, like, she has. But she, and this has been confirmed to me by two people, not just one person, two people from production. She was nowhere near coming back on the show until she started dating John Jansen. Because some people are going out there saying, oh, there were talks about her coming back before she dated John Jansen. So she didn't start dating John Jansen just to get back on the show. From the two people, two contacts that I have in production, they said that no. Nobody was considering bringing Alexis Bellino back until that happened.
Oh, so you're saying she's not dating Johnny J to get on the show. She's on the show because it's like a chicken and the egg situation.
Like, I think it's kind of both. It's like, oh, if I date her ex, maybe I'll get on the show / I kind of enjoy, you know, also Orange County is a small place. There's only so many single men over the age of 45 who are available, you know what I mean, who kind of look somewhat decent. And I'm being very kind to this douchebag that he looks kind of decent, because we all thought when Shannon started dating him, we're like, oh, he's cute, you know. So I'm not gonna complete, like, it's just once you find out more about a person, they can look disgusting.
The way the other women, like, I think it was Gina, was in her confessional, was talking about how gross he is.
Actually, it might have been Emily, but I always call Emily and Gina the same name because they also came on together at the same time. So,
okay. Oh, you're right. No, you're right. Now that I think about it, yes. Again, I'm mixing the names up because the entire time I was watching it, I knew that Emily was the brunette, but I kept, every time somebody else would say Gina, I thought they were talking about Emily.
But she looks like a Gina. That's the
thing. She does. That's it. It's like a New Jersey thing. Like, if she were casting on New Jersey, her name would be Gina, damn it. Yeah, okay.
Which is funny since Gina is from New Jersey.
So I'm not crazy. Okay. She does look like a Gina. Okay. Yes. Okay. Now we're on. When you say it's such a small place, Orange County, like, I love that they have one bar. It's like, it's like their Regal Beagle. That's an old school reference. But yeah, with the Quiet Woman, which got some, I mean, I know it gets a lot of name checks on the show, but But it, you know, it seems to be a sticking point between Alexis and Shannon that it's their bar.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I mean I don't. Last year when I was come out there visiting you both, and I was in Orange County for a few nights down in Newport, and I was out to dinner, and one of the people, a woman I was out to dinner with, like in the big group, she said she was going to a bar afterwards that was a good place for singles to like go in Newport. And I mean, I lived in LA for 20 plus years, grew up in Orange County. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't feel like going out cause I was jet lagged at the time. She's like, yeah, it's called The Quiet Woman, which I had never seen OC, didn't know what it was. And I even texted you both saying, hey, I heard about this bar down here that's good for like, you know, older singles. It's called The Quiet Lady and a question mark. And you're like, no, it's The Quiet Woman. I'm like, oh, okay. I did not realize that it was such like an iconic part of the show.
It is. Oh, I'll send it to you because there's a part where like Shannon had a moment on the show a few seasons ago when she basically threw a plate at another cast member who's no longer on the show. And she said, this is because the cast member called her fat. And she had gained weight post-divorce. And she goes, this isn't even my plate, you bitch. She like, threw the plate across the table. It's iconic. It's amazing. It is just Shannon unhinged at its best. It's just fabulous. It's fabulous. We love a Shannon unhinged moment, except for when she's driving drunk. We do not enjoy that.
Yeah, she was definitely trying to put blame on, well, she put blame on him because she said she claimed she lost control of the car because she was revving it to show Johnny J how mad she was. So totally blaming him for it. Yeah.
I mean, I love her. She's my sorority sister. But I just go, Shannon, I can't with that shit. I hate drunk drivers. I just hate that bullshit. So like, I'm not letting her off the hook with any of this stuff. What I will say though, is my second part of tea has to do with her DUI.
Oh.
So again, confirmed by two people, not necessarily the same two people, but confirmed by two people that Shannon's DUI actually saved Gina from being cut from the show because, and now you don't know this because you just started watching this, but two seasons ago in between seasons, Gina got a DUI and Shannon helped Gina out by getting Gina a lawyer and everything. And since then, Shannon has kind of held that over Gina's head.
Yeah, they played like a montage of yes. times that she did that. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And especially last season. Last season, it became a real big sticking. And it was true. Like even I, and somebody who has been hit by a drunk driver and hates drunk driving, period, doesn't have any tolerance for it, was like, dude, Shannon, you need to stop it now. Like this woman, okay, like, come on. But, dude, I mean, and Gina, I don't believe she did any. Anyway, I'm not going to break, whatever. But basically, because Shannon had her DUI, and here's kind of like retribution, Gina. Here's karma, like, coming at Shannon for, like, treating you so poorly. Like, treating you well, but then treating you poorly gives Gina more of a storyline. So Shannon has given two women jobs this year. On Bravo.
They should be more grateful, to be honest.
They really should. I mean, we'll see if Gina is grateful. I think Gina gets a lot of flack. Jordan really loves a Twitter account or any of the Twitter memes that come up that has Gina having a job at Chili's, like being a hostess at Chili's, which I think is mean. I mean, I can think sometimes I think they're funny, but sometimes I think they're mean. But
wait, what was she a host of Chili's?
No, it basically okay. It's just a
because
whole
on the other show, you know, because Sheena was so yeah, you never know. You never know. I know that Gina is now in real estate. I gathered that much, but she could have used to work at Chili's. I don't know.
I mean, look, she might have worked at Chili's back in New Jersey, but I don't know. I haven't heard that confirmed anywhere. Fair but enough. Actually, let's talk about the real estate because as we've talked about before, how like during the Beverly Hills rewatch, you know, they're a little bit more organic relationships. You know, we've got the sisters, we got, you know, some of them like do, there are some organic relationships there to start off with. Some are, others are manufactured. Bringing this, the new cast member Katie in as quote unquote Gina's friend is so manufactured. I was like, come on guys, especially that the idea that Sutton Strack would recommend newbie real estate agent in Orange County, Gina Kirchneiner, to Katie from Los Angeles, who if she's around Sutton's level, like, come on, like she ain't gonna use a newbie real estate agent. I could see her using somebody from the Oppenheim group faster than Gina. Sorry, Gina, but come on, let's be real here. This is a setup. Everybody can see it. Come on, production.
Well, I know that this was, I mean, Katie, so is my understanding, this is Katie's first appearance on the show. I mean, they certainly, yes, her being introduced to everybody. But yeah, when Heather said, oh, to introduce to Katie, and Heather said, oh, Sutton said good things about you, that was sold for me. You get Sutton's seal of approval. Katie is golden. I don't care how awful she ends up being. She's good with me.
So maybe Katie will be like, maybe you'll ride or die for Katie because she's...
Well, she's not replacing Sutton. I mean...
No. But I just mean because she'd be like BFFs with Sutton. It'd be like,
maybe,
okay.
Maybe. I mean, she had so little to do this episode that who knows what she'll end up being like. But
Look, she's lucky that she got into the first episode because as we've noticed, at least with Beverly Hills bringing in new people, they sometimes wait till halfway through the season to even bring in the new person. So
yeah, she who shall not be named showed up like 8 episodes into this year's Beverly Hills.
Right. Mm. Exactly. Yeah. We're not going to talk about that anyway.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But I thought this episode, there was so much of this episode that was already kind of like leaked beforehand that I was seeing in like sneak previews and stuff that I kind of was like, okay, I've already seen this. But I mean, just it all was leading up to Heather Dubrow's party. Yeah. and the showdown. And I love the fact that all the women were just unapologetic about trying to watch what was happening. And especially, like, I almost called her Gina. Emily pressed up against
the window. With her man spreading there. And Tamara's I don't remember if it was Tamara or Heather. It was like, they can see everything. You're spread out. She's like, yeah, this is the best way to see. That was actually the most natural friendship moment on the show, was the women in that moment. It was like a sick, it was straight out of like a Friends plot, like them climbing over each other to see a fight outside. But yeah, that was, but again, since I don't have much backstory, but yeah, the whole episode built up to that in typical, you know, I get the whole Housewives formula by now. They build it up to the very last segment. And then they'll have the fight, always the very, you know, second to last segment. Mm-hmm. And this was no different. But you could tell.
It's just Alexis doesn't really get she tries to get the last word in. So it's like she does her manufactured line of there's the door, Shannon Bedore, which we know she's probably been waiting, you know, weeks to say that line.
She's been workshopping that to Johnny J. Completely, maybe. Yeah.
Absolutely. But then she's the one that walks out.
Yeah.
She's not the one, like, Shannon just stands her ground and just waits there.
Yeah.
The way that Shannon then looks straight at the camera and says perfect has now been memed everywhere. So there's the door, Shannon Bedore, has been overshadowed by Shannon just looking dead ass in the camera and saying perfect. Like, how perfect is that? Also, I will say this. Shannon Bedore has great legs. She has great legs. Like, that dress, even though she was sitting weirdly, like, and barely fit her, like, she's got great tits and she's got great legs, and she should always show them off. And anytime I've seen her in person, that's what she's showing off. She's wearing a short skirt, and she just should always wear a short skirt like that. So, like, absolutely. But I said it when the trailer came out, and I agree after this first episode. So I'm excited to see what continues to happen during the season. But that golden age of OC is like back, like the golden age of Bravo, like, kind of like let's have this happen. Because also this is, I know they have a bunch of trips, but I've been getting tired a lot of the Housewives franchises is like, oh, let's just go on trips to places and we fight at places. This, I will say this, just like I said, like Shannon gave two women jobs this season, you know, kept them employed. Like, seeing what happens between her and Gina, and like if there's any kind of like accountability and retribution, and like true I'm sorry's, not just the like at the party like I'm sorry type of thing, but also like truly, I mean, having somebody that you know in the periphery from your friend group that you're not necessarily friends with start dating your ex right away. I mean, I don't think it really is about her. It's not really about Alexis. It really is about John. And it's like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, he's continuing to like fuck with her head, I think. Like, it's like, I'm gonna fuck with you some more. Mm-hmm. Especially because, and you don't necessarily know this, a big thing with Shannon last season that she would get very upset at the other women was that, well, John doesn't want to film. Like, John doesn't want to be in the public. Like, he doesn't want to be in the public, and he gets mad at me. Like, we have these fights and he gets really mad at me for us being in the public and for things that I do. And so it's like, wait a minute. Now he's turned around and he's dating Alexis Bellino, former housewife, who still wants to be on the show. So, and also, I'm sorry, John Jansen, you have filmed multiple times with Shannon since the very beginning of your relationship. So I call shenanigans on you. Absolutely. You want to be on this show. Fine if your relationship with Shannon's not working out. That's okay. But don't gaslight her and say that her being on a television show is the problem that in your relationship, because it clearly is not. Like, clearly your relationship is the problem with the relationship. So shut the fuck up.
the thing, and again, too early for me to pick sides, but watching the Shannon Alexis fight, the climactic fight outside, my first thought is they both seem terrible. they both seem awful. Like, I don't know if I want to pick a side on this one.
That's what Housewives is all about. It's about terrible people on television acting terribly and making us pick sides at times. Like, that's what actually all of Bravo is about, to be honest with you. These are not the do-good games here. That's not what we're watching. We're watching women behaving badly, basically. Like, that's what we're watching. We're watching quote-unquote rich women behaving badly. Even though, like, oh, yeah. And another thing, like, the woman, Jen, who I forget about a lot. Just kind of sad.
That's the one getting evicted, right?
Yes.
Getting evicted from her house, yeah.
She's like, I look at her and I go, you're just a mess. I go, you're a mess. Like, you have to understand, too, like, last season, she came on. She's with her boyfriend, Ryan, which is funny because I think, you also know about the season before. So two seasons ago, there were two other characters, a married couple named Jen and Ryan. But that Ryan spelled it Ryan, like Ryan Sandberg, the old Cubs player. Yeah. And so we made fun of him for spelling his name Ryan like that. Mm. So you replace Jen and Ryan with a new Jen and Ryan, which is hilarious. So, but she had been married for a long time and had this husband who also lived half the time in like somewhere else. I can't remember. And so they would like move in and out of the same house so the kids wouldn't have to move, which I get that. We do have a friend who did that. But then, you know, something in the meantime has obviously happened with their relationship, and they're like they also hadn't really officially divorced and stuff like that. And obviously she'd moved on because she had a new boyfriend and yada, 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 and all this stuff. So, but then it's like, oh, she moved, and it's still this whole thing of like letting somebody else take care of your financials. And it's like, sweetie, honey, like when you get to like in your 40s and 50s, you got to be able to take in your divorce, you got to learn how to take care of your financials. I mean, you should learn how to do that beforehand, but I think a divorce usually is what is the wake up call for a lot of people to like not to all of a sudden go, oh, wait a minute. These are the things I should have been paying attention to. And that's apparently one of the reasons she's getting evicted is because like her ex-husband was only paying like a portion of the rent.
Yeah, they're like what, 24,000 behind or something? Something.
Yeah, I'm very confused about this. I want to know more because I definitely want to know more. And I love that Gina was like copied all of his emails. And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm. If you thought I had trouble telling the blonde women apart, I'm lost with the boyfriends. There was a Travis. There was a Ryan. There was, I think, Tamara's husband.
Yes.
All look like the same guy. All look like the same person. So I'm like, oh, fuck this. Even if you put the name under them, you could say, it could say Travis. I'd be like, who's Travis? So this season's gonna be an adventure for me. But again, like I said, by the end of this episode, I figured out who was Gina and who was the other one. Emily. The other one. Yeah. Yeah. Nailed it.
Oh my gosh. Because I was about to, as you're like Gina, and I was like, have you really? I almost said, have you really? And then you just finished it up for me. You're like, you proved me right there. Yeah. Because I still have a hard time. Like I said, I want to call her Gina. I want to call Emily Gina too.
So. Anybody listening has to agree. She looks like a Gina.
I think we should just both call them Gina from now on. They're just both Gina. They're both Gina. Yeah. Gina 1 and Gina 2.
Gina 1, Gina 2. Oh, that's going to be less confusing for me for sure.
Actually, they would be, I think they would be Gina 2 and Gina 3 because there's also, you don't know this, but from the first ever season of Orange County, there's, and actually the first ever Orange County housewife is Gina Keough. And she was, her neighbor was Scott Dunlop, who is the creative of Real Housewives of Orange County. And so that's how all these housewives got started. Okay. Actually, Gina Keough is the center. She is the seedling of housewives. So she's Gina number one.
I kind of regret that just because I've, again, like I said, she's one of the few cast members that I'd heard of, but Vicky not being on it, because I've heard just such stories. Now I see this, I'm like, where did Vicky fit into this, all of this? Even though I know she was like the queen bee, mm-hmm. or at least she thought she was, but it, from an outsider's point of view, it certainly seemed like she was. But now that she's not there, it's like, oh. And I imagine they don't bring, like, her name was not brought up, you know, like on the other shows, you know. Well, I mean, obviously Kathy Hilton has a different relationship in that group, but even when Kathy casts a shadow over the show, even mm-hmm. when she's not there, they're not even directly talking about her. Like, I don't know if Vicky has that same weight with this cast or not. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah, that makes sense. But no, she doesn't in that way, because I think partially the difference between Kathy, there's two big differences between Kathy and Vicky. One is money, the vastness of that Hilton wealth that Kathy sits upon. That's huge. Like, Vicky would like to think that she comes close to that, and she does not. But two, it's for Kathy, it is those family ties that, and it's the ghost of Big Kathy, you know, their mother that, like, and in a sense, not that Kathy Hilton embodies that, but that kind of seeps over everything. Whereas, like, Vicky is the OG of the OC. She absolutely is. And she's a larger than life personality, and she's going to be in the episode. Like, we've seen from some stuff that she is. But she was the queen bee. She was the queen bee for too long. But she, like Icarus, like, she flew too close to the sun. And yeah, I think that's the, what's the word that I'm looking for right now? My brain is not finding it.
Hey, I can't even tell Gina and Emily. And God, did I say Emily?
You got it right. No, you said Gina and Emily.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think that's the warning sign to any housewife is that you can't, if you feel like you're the queen bee, great, but you actually should probably not. I think it's always better to be striving. Like, once you get to be number one or, like, best in the world, it's really hard to keep that title. Like, then everybody's going for it.
Yeah.
I think it's always better to be the underdog, you know, and
scrappy.
Be scrappy like that. So yeah. Anyway, that's just me. But
it's, I mean, I don't know if spoiled's the right word, but just knowing the level of wealth on Beverly Hills, having started on Beverly Hills, it's mm-hmm. interesting to see this where these women are clearly wealthy. These are obviously, except for Jennifer, maybe.
And Gina.
And Gina, maybe. But, like, their homes, you know, I mean, you watch Beverly Hills, they're these, the establishing shots of their houses. These are just, I mean, some of them more gaudy than others, but they're just enormous homes. Then they showed the homes on this, and I know they're multi-million-dollar homes. I know what Newport and Orange County cost. But you look at them, you're like, that doesn't mm-hmm. impress me as much. Yeah. So, but I know because I've just been spoiled by Beverly Hills. I know all. Yep. I'm sure Atlanta's the same way. I'm sure. Well, New York's different because of the housing issue situation in New York, where they don't really have homes. But it's shocking to me that, you know, it would be like the Beverly Hills women would look down on them, being like, oh, that you're that tiny house. Which is mm-hmm. again, I know what things cost in Orange County. Those are not cheap. No. They just don't look like, you know.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because since Heather Dubrow is like basically.
Oh, except for her.
Like, she lives, in Beverly Hills, ironically.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she has the place that they bought in Beverly Hills that they're not going to live in for years, because it suddenly she bought it for $16 million. That was very funny, the counter at the bottom where it was adding, so it got up to I think $32 million. Mm-hmm. And then they have they just said LA penthouse, and then they also have the Balboa Bay place where they had the party. Clearly they have substantial wealth. Mm-hmm. I imagine.
Yeah.
Now, was that, I think you guys have made a comment or maybe we weren't even doing it on an episode. I know that Terry Dubrow is a well-known plastic surgeon. I know that, mm-hmm. but do they have wealth otherwise? Cause this seems far exceeding the wealth of a plastic surgeon. Like, I don't know their background.
Yeah. I mean, I think because I had thought that Terry came from family wealth, but Jordan was like, no. And so, but his brother was the former lead singer of Quiet Riot, and he died, went in the aughts, I think, of a drug overdose. And so Terry,
oh my God,
might have without it. Yeah.
I can picture him, and I can picture him looking like Terry. That's funny. I did not know that, but I can totally see that. Okay.
Yeah. And he died without any heirs. So I believe that most of his, if he had any wealth, went to Terry.
Okay.
And then, you know, they call Heather Dubrow Fancy Pants, but she came from, I don't know how wealthy her family was. I don't know if they were just like upper middle class or like you or upper class back on the East Coast, but she came from a well-to-do family, I would say. But I don't think it was like extravagant wealth or anything like that. But this is the thing is that, I mean, Jordan's better versed on this. So I feel like he, when he's on next time, he can explain it a little bit better, but she, when she was acting and had a little bit of money, she bought a house like in Malibu or out in the Palisades, somewhere like that. And it kind of became an investment property in that, like she lived there, but then it also like she kept it and that made more money for them.
Oh, okay.
And so through their marriage though, they've made very sound investments, both in real estate and they've also like branched themselves out, like doing QVC stuff. They've started different lines of things, you know, granted, I don't know how much money they've lost in starting different things. Like they've had a book out, they've done this, they've done that. Granted, he also had bought, he, I don't even know if Botched is still on, but it also, it does get replayed. So if him and Paul Nassif, you know, are producers on that and making residuals off of it, you know, that that's still in, that's passive income now. I believe to me, from what little that I know of, it looks to me like they just like played their money very well, that they invested it well and they played it well. Cause also like, if you think about it, if they just invested like a couple million dollars in the S&P 500 around 2010, like now today, I think they'd have almost $10 million. So if you had just, you know, a little bit of that, if you took, if you had even more of that in like different ways and you kept like that compounding and everything, like you'd have a lot more money. So I think that's what it is. So
it's just, it's interesting. Like again, always going back to Beverly Hills, where now the latest season of like what 13, I think, of Beverly Hills, the women are mostly on even ground. It seems in terms of the, I mean, obviously Erica downsized clearly, but the other women, but, and then we on, you know, on, when we're doing the rewatch on Beverly Hills season one, where it's so clearly off that we've talked about, where LVP and Adrian and Camille are just so much wealthier than the other women. So that's what this one feels like, where the women of the OC, it's from what I can say one episode in, they all seem like they're in equal state, like equal ground, except for obviously the Jennifer who's getting evicted. But then Heather's so much higher than them. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. That's a big difference. Okay.
It was one of the reasons they brought her back a couple of seasons ago, because like it was almost like OC lost all of its money. Like they lost any, like anybody with like cachet or anything like that. Because also like when it first started, it was like living in Coto de Caza and like behind the gates. And I was like, Coto de Caza is so far inland. I was like, yeah, it's like a, you know, it's an expensive area, but it's not like living in Newport Beach or living on Laguna Beach or, you know, anything like that. Or, you know, there's a couple other places that are a little bit more, I mean, it's all location, location, location. That's why we say it's like, look, Teresa Giudice's house is only worth about like $3.5 million, but it's huge, but it's in New Jersey. You know what I mean? It's in New Jersey and it's in this area of New Jersey. It's still expensive. But if you took that sized house and you put it in Newport Beach, that's easily a $30 million home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
On that size lot, on this, like, that's a $30 million home. You put it in Los Angeles proper, like in, you know, depends where in Beverly Hills and or Bel Air or anything like that, easily, you know, $45, $50 million. And I'm talking about the same parcel size of land and same, like, you know, all that type of stuff. So it's just about location. The closer you are in certain areas, like, yeah.
You dropped Teresa's house in St. Louis, Missouri. Probably looking about $750,000. Good deal. Good deal.
There you go. There you go.
Yep.
Well, I think we should drop this episode now.
Fair, fair.
Man, but you know, everybody, we are now available on YouTube if you have not seen that already. So make sure that you subscribe to us, click that notification bell so that you can watch us and you know anytime we're popping up. But of course, we are always, always, always on the original podcast. So make sure you subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on all of our socials on TikTok and Instagram. We are at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, and on Twitter, well, formerly Twitter, now X, we're at Pretty Corrupt One. You can also find all our individuals there. Make sure that you share us with your real estate agents, with your plastic surgeons, and with all the Ginas in your life, please.
I was just about to say that, yes. And the Emilys, if you want, but mostly the Ginas.
Mostly the Ginas. We want as many Ginas as we can get, and however they're spelled. So with that, why don't you send us out, Nate?
Ciao.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available. Tremfya.